Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our council meeting for May 26, 2021. Note that this meeting has been duly advertised and planned as a provision of the Open Public Meeting Law. Please be advised that this meeting is being only recorded for the public to hear. Everyone, please, quiet for the flag. I salute you, Mr. Speaker, of the United States of America, and to the Republic of which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Councilman DeMonico.
Here.
Councilwoman Hess.
Here.
Councilman Jackson.
Here.
Councilwoman Sinnen.
Here.
Councilman Spitali.
Present.
President Randall Sharp.
Here.
Mayor.
Here. So it's good to have everybody from the public meeting at the same time. Resolution 2021-106, reading the budget by title. Entertained motion, please.
Second.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. At this time, we'll have the public hearing for the 2021 budget.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dawn Thompson. I'm the Administrator and the Chief Financial Officer. And I welcome you to tonight's 2020 Municipal Budget Public Hearing. I'm a little excited to have an audience because last year, it looked very different, and then we were doing it by conference call. So, you'll get an opportunity to see all my pie charts and all my explosions. So again, I'm excited that I have an audience, and we're gonna get started.
Explosions?
Yes, explosions! But then also, welcome you to our first in-person meeting. So we look again. Come on, there you go. All right, here we go. State law requires that every municipality hold a public hearing on the municipal budget prior to adoption by the governing body. The public hearing provides pertinent information regarding the town's financial operating plan, which outlines anticipated revenues and allocations of resources to various expenditures. This budget presentation will include the following: a 2020 financial highlight, a synopsis of the 2021 municipal budget for both the general fund as well as the school utility fund, coupled with charts and graphs, and an overview of our capital projects as well as our future budget strategies. Can everyone hear me? With the mask a little difficult. 2020 financial highlights for our general fund. Our 2020 total tax collection was a little over $31 million. The allocation of that current tax collection is broken down as follows. Our municipal tax levy, as you can see, is 35% of that tax collection amount. Our school district tax is 45%. Our fire district tax is 4%. And our county taxes is 16%. Our tax collection rate was 97.65%, and that was up 1.51% from 2019. Our cash surplus is up by almost 30% from 2019. And our next slide just gives you the allocation and breakdown of the county taxes. The county taxes are comprised of four components: the general county, the county library, the county open space, and the added limited taxes. The borough of Lindenwall is the collecting agent for all of those components, which again is our fire district, which is considered our special, special levy, our school district, as well as counties. And again, that's the breakdown of what we collect for the county. And as you can see, 91% is the general county fee. Moving on to our sewer utilities. In 2020, our total sewer fee collections were $1.5 million, and they were slightly up from 2019. We were self-liquidating, and which means that we were funded by our users, and that is that we collected enough to be able to support the expenses for our sewer utilities. And our cash surplus was up 12% from 2019. Moving on to our 2021 budget synopsis for the general fund. We increased our utilization of surplus in order to support the joint operations of our budget. We anticipated $2,969,000 of surplus, which is up 23.4% from the prior year. Our state aid will remain the same, We had increase in health insurance costs attributed to increased premiums, contractual post-retirement benefits, as well as new hire enrollment. We had an increase in garbage removal due to $5.15 increase in tonnage and disposal costs. And the 2021 budget includes a 2.5% contractual increase for the police department and a 2% for the other contractual, non-contractual, appointed and part-time employees. Continuing with our synopsis, there was an increase in our public buildings and rail, and that was attributed to the New Jersey Clean Energy Direct Install Program for Energy Savings Project and a sewer pipe system for our Department of Public Works. We had an increase in our legal expenses, which is attributed to the Arnold Redevelopment Project, and also our rentals decreased by $9.5 million, which is attributed to the Arnold Redevelopment. There is an asterisk there, so I wanted you to pay attention to the asterisk at the bottom. It says the Arnold Redevelopment pilot is equivalent to rentals of $8,297,200 per year, 2021 and 2022, and $9,775,300 for each year thereafter. Sometimes my eyes are a little bad, it's like my reading up here, doesn't it? Our 2021 budget summary of information for the general fund. This is giving you a breakdown of what our total assessed valuation, our rentals were for both 2021 and 2020.
Go back to when we skipped over the
Based on a budget of $16,794,978, the 2% levy cap has been met. The local projected tax rate is 1.714, which equates to a tax increase of 1.5 cents. Thank you, sir. This chart here just shows a comparison of our total assessed valuations of our ratables from year 2020 to 2021, as well as what our local municipal tax levy is. The municipal tax levy is the portion of the taxes that you all pay just for the municipality. That doesn't take into consideration other things such as the school district, the county, and the fire district. Again, we are the collecting agents for that. And although on your bill you receive all of that, this is just the borough's portion that you'll see tonight. So again, our municipal tax rate for 2021 is 1.714. In 2020, it was 1.699. And that gives you 1.5 cents. Last year, at this time, there was a 2.5 cent increase. So this year, the increase was a little less. So again, total budget, our total revenues, and total appropriations, for purposes of the state, they have to tie. So you'll see in 2021, 6.7 million, and in 2020, 7.1 million. So there was definitely a decrease in 2020. Now, when you look at the tax rate effect, based on the local tax rate of the 1.5 cent increase, you'll see the varying assessed values. If your home was assessed at $130,000, your annual tax increase based on 1.5 cent increase will be $18.96. So that's just to give you an idea that although it's an increase, it's very minimal this year. This will give us an opportunity to raise a little bit of surplus, but at the same time, to be able to support the operations of the town, because there were some increased expenses, as noted earlier in the presentation. The general fund, our anticipated revenues, which this chart shows a five-year trend from 2017 to 2021. So you'll see that there have been some increases over this five-year period, but this is just to give you an idea of what the revenue categories are. The surplus anticipated, again, is 2.9 million. Miscellaneous local revenues, our state aid revenues. And as you can see with the state aid for the last 5 years, our state aid has remained constant. So the state has not reduced that, and we're thankful for that revenue. Our uniform code construction fees, you'll see, have been increased over the years. Other special items of revenue that really vary, receipts from delinquent taxes, and the amount that he brings, which is what we call our municipal, local levy that you all pay for the property taxes for the Borough of Lindenwald, just the municipal fees. And then what the total revenues are from 2017 to 2021. So just to break down just to show you from a pie chart perspective, the majority of the revenues that we collect is the amount that he raised, which is the municipal tax revenue. Then you will see that 17.8% of the budget is the surplus that we anticipate. So in terms of being able to use surplus to help support it, we use 17.8% this year. Just to give you an idea of our tax collections and where they've been. So if you look at 2013 to the present, we are at 97.65%. Moving to our budget appropriations, and just showing you a five-year trend. Our general operations, which includes all of our salary and wages, other expenses, we have deferred charges, capital improvements, municipal debt service, any shared service agreements that we have, other operations, grants that are offset by revenues, and a reserve for uncollected taxes. And you can see that the reserve for uncollected taxes has gone down this year, and in a year where your tax collection rate is up, your reserve for uncollected taxes go down. Because what happens is the state requires that all municipalities have a reserve for uncollected taxes, especially when you are a municipality that does not have 100% tax collection rate. Most municipalities don't. You have some that do, but in our case we don't, so most towns are required to have this reserve. But this year, because our tax collection rate increased, our reserve for uncollected taxes went down, which is a good thing. So just to give you a breakdown of the general fund appropriations, 87.66% are the general operations. That is the bulk of our budget. And again, that includes salary and wages, other expenses, everything that you can pretty much think of, from parks and playgrounds, public buildings, police department, tax office, finance office, construction office compliance, is all in that general operations number. And then you can see the breakdown of percentages for all the other areas of the appropriations. So now I'm going to break down the general operations. So the general operations is $14,722,702.77. What makes that up are those various components, which is salary and wages, other expenses, statutory expenditures, and when we say statutory, those are required, and that's our pension. That's FICA, Medicare, Social Security. These are required statutory expenditures. And then we have insurance, which includes workers' comp, liability, health insurance, and then our utilities. So again, that is just the general operations, and to give you an idea of what makes that up. And as you can see on that chart, 46.79% is the salary and wages for the general budget, followed by the other expenses. Our pension costs. Just to give you an idea of what the pension costs are over 5 years term. So you can see from 2017 to 2021, the pension cost has increased. That's an expense that is out of our control. It's whatever the actuaries or whatever case calculate, the state in turn will send us a bill. And this is comprised of both our public employee retirement system as well as our police and fire retirement system. So that's combined for the pension systems that we have here at the Northern Bank. Our health insurance expense, as you can see, is a five-year trend. We have a few fluctuations, and you'll see in 2021, there is an increase, and in the beginning of the presentation, I had mentioned the premiums as well as contractual post-retirement benefits, because we had quite a few employees that retired, and then we had some new enrollments as well. So moving into our sewer utilities. We utilized $112,000 of surplus to support the sewer utility operation, and that we had no increase in user fees for 2021. Our sewer utility anticipated revenues is comprised of the surplus anticipated and rent, which is what we call user fees. So when you hear me say user fees, that's what that is. That's what we call rent. And then miscellaneous revenues. And those three components were total of the revenues for our sewer utility. And as you can see, the bulk of the sewer utility, which is similar to the general fund, which is the property tax, here is the same thing that is the user fee, the rent that you all pay for the sewer utility. Budget appropriations for our sewer utility for a five-year plan. The breakdown, again, is as follows: salary wages, other expenses, debt service, and statutory expenditures. Again, you can see that in this case, you have salary wages at 31%, but you have the other expenses, which are 39%. So it takes a whole lot to run a sewer and utility, because there are times when pump stations, you just have a lot that you have to do with regards to maintaining them. And now we're at our 2021 capital projects. Again, that was just a synopsis of our general fund as well as our sewer utility. Can we get into detail for the sake of time? We could be here all night if I went through every line item in the budget, but I wanted to give you some highlights. And again, this is synopsis. So to go over our 2021 capital projects for our general capital, we're looking to purchase generator for the police department, purchase of a Mack rear load trash truck for public works, purchase of a new street sweeper for public works, installation of a new fuel system to replace the old one at public works facility, which will eliminate the underground fuel tanks that are located at the police department land. Those are really, really outdated, and it's time for us to maintain and do an installation of a new system there. Also, purchase of a street golf cart for parks and recreation maintenance, purchase of a program called PubWorks, and it's a GIS integrated work management software package for our public works department that will really help the public works department to really navigate and manage the all the work that comes into the public works department. We're also looking at roof repairs for the field maintenance house and expansion of the parking lot at the municipal building. In terms of road reconstruction and improvement, the continuation of London Town repaving, which is our phase two, and the reconstruction of various municipal roads, and the construction of a bicycle path through the high school and memorial park. With regards to sewer capital, we're looking at various pump station repairs and upgrades for pump station number 8 and bypass pumping equipment. So that's it as far as capital projects. I know there's been some questions on some of the conference calls with regards to the American Rescue monies that the Borough of London was supposed to receive. We still don't have any guidance on that yet. We are waiting to hear from the Division of Local Government Services. Because we are a population of under 50,000, we have to get our allotment from the state. And we're not sure when we're going to get that. We do know that those municipalities that have over 50,000 in population have already received their funding. So we're just waiting. And as soon as we get the guidance as to how we can use those funds, the governing body will make the most prudent decisions as to what they're going to use it for. So I just wanted to bring that up because I know it was discussed on some of the conference calls we had. Now, as far as budget strategies, looking ahead, some of you have been here before and you've heard this, but we're going to remain fiscally responsible and continue to manage surplus and debt levels to improve long-term financial stability and stabilization of property tax rates. And in this budget, we were able to use, again, a 24% increase in surplus to help with reducing our property tax rate. We want to seek operating efficiencies where possible and to take advantage of opportunities to apply for grants and other sources to reduce the tax burden for the borough taxpayers. We also want to leverage information technology to improve service quality, effectiveness, and efficiency. And lastly, to provide an ongoing commitment to community. So that, Mayor and Council, and members of the public, complete the presentation for the public hearing. So I will now open it up for any questions that you may have.
On your capital expenditure project for 2021, the roof repair, what is the field maintenance about?
No, Craig is not here, and I know he submitted for it, but I'm not sure.
The one at Charles Drew or the one at Memorial Park?
Memorial Park.
Okay. So I'd like to ask, how do we answer this?
If you could talk a little bit louder, you know it's difficult because we've got the mask on.
No problem. The expansion of the parking lot at the new school building, I'm assuming you mean the police station?
No, this is the school building.
Oh. Where is it getting bigger?
We're looking at potentially in the back and maybe some in the front.
And last on capital project, a couple years ago, you had the resurfacing of the basketball court by the Winston on a capital project. You haven't seen that since, nor have we seen it completed. So just wondering if we could get an update on it.
Well, that, I would have to talk to our public works director because I'm not really sure. I think that was put on pause, and that was for using the basketball court that's there.
Yeah, they were going to resurface it all, and I mean, I had a few conversations about it. They were looking for manpower and so forth, and so I'm hoping for COVID, and we just kind of wondered if
it was back there. Yeah, so,
but I thought also, right before COVID, a tree artist came, and we talked about one of the tree artists. So I thought that was whether it was one mango or something else, Starry Night or something else, and it all got, kind of got
right, but the money is in place for it.
Yeah.
It's just that when it's going to be completed, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I just put on this, and this could change, you know, as far as projects, depending on what we're able to do with the American Rescue money. We may be able to do some additional capital projects that aren't listed on here. But we do have the funding because that was under another bond to be able to do that.
Okay.
But again, it's just, you know, it's just small.
Yeah, no, I just want to check it out because it's still on the table. So. Thank you.
You're welcome. So are there any other questions?
Okay, so will this
budget presentation be available on the website? Yes. I know there's been a request already for it, but we wanted to wait until tonight after the presentation was completed because, believe it or not, I just had like a few changes I had to make right before the meeting. So I didn't want to put it out and just have it solidified.
I'm
sorry, say again.
No, that's just inspirational. It'll be publicly available.
And then keep in mind too, again, that that's a synopsis because the budget is very detailed, but the budget is on the website. So if there are any questions and concerns, any of the detail that you see in the budget, you can email me. My email is on the website. It's Dawn Thompson. And give me a call or whatever the case, and we can set up a time to discuss it.
My second question is, when it comes to the American Relief Fund, whenever it comes to them, whenever we get more direction on it, would there be an opportunity for the public to submit proposals for some of the funds?
I'm going to refer to the government
about that.
A lot of times there's a lot of restrictions on the money when they come to us. To give you an example, Roman Road, we received federal funds for that. It took 9 years for us to actually get the funds. Jumped along, who's been the one that's jumped
with. So. And then we put it out for bid a couple of times because the bid came in too high and we didn't have enough funding for it. I had to request for additional funding. We got it in order to complete some of the lights, but we did have to scale the project down
right. Because
the funding wasn't due.
Naturally. I mean, with that understanding, you know, that the proposal would have to meet the constraints that are associated with the funds and what the process is, know, I did see a line item on the grant. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And if I have a portion of the fund in the grant and allowing the public to participate.
Well, when you say grants, I mean, we do apply for grants, and most of the grants that we receive are for the completion of road projects. We recently had the traffic signal project. We get municipal lines, which our police department pretty much handles. We've gotten safety secure money to help offset police salaries. So we do apply for pretty much every grant that, you know, comes our way. But are you talking about...
That's how we're talking about the whole lockdown.
Yeah, the Berlin sidewalk project.
We're down on the street.
And CBDG funds, so anything that we can get that comes across, we go ahead and try to apply for.
I love that. I was talking more about, like, putting it forward, putting the motion back, getting it forward, so how are we going to let you guys give us your idea?
So are you referring to their specific grant that you're referring to, or...
What's that?
Is there a specific grant that you're referring to?
Yes, the American Rescue Fund. There are some line items on there. I mean, I know that the parameters are vague right now, but they say things like there are four reasons that it can be used, two of them seem pretty pertinent to the public in terms of helping out struggling businesses and residents. And investing in sewer, water, and broadband infrastructure. And I know that this council has momentum in the past about the lack of communication from the community. I'm wondering if extending this opportunity to the community to ask for that input might help fulfill this calculation.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, no problem. Going back to
if anybody else has any questions as it pertains to the budget and the public hearing, the community policing can come under another segment of the meeting, but I just want us to deal with any questions as it relates to the budget before we adopt it tonight.
Then, that's all
we have. Okay. Anyone else? From the public, which is a speech. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you,
Joanne. And I just want to let everybody, Joanne does a tremendous job for finance, and I say it all the time, she reduces all of our information down to a couple of slides, but there's a lot of work that goes into that, a lot of work that goes with Todd and all the other departments to bring it together, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. My job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanne. All right, I have a motion for other groups in 2021, 1-0.
Motion for
Councilman DiDomenico.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess.
Yes.
Councilman Jackson.
Yes.
Councilwoman Sinnen.
Yes.
Councilman Spoh.
Yes.
President Randolph Sharp.
Yes.
Thank you, Council.
Next up, the Secretary of the Randolph Civil Office, the Rooster Club, the Royal Women's Law, and the Active Mind Foundation. There will be no formal discussion with these items. If discussion is desired, the following will be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately. And the Secretary of the Randolph Civil Office, 2021-107, to 109.
Motion for resolution items
2021,
107,
109,
and
207.
And second,
please.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman DiDomenico.
Yes.
Councilwoman Hess.
Yes.
Councilman Jackson.
Yes.
Councilwoman Sinnen.
Yes.
Councilman Spoley.
Yes.
President Randolph Sharp.
Yes.
Open the council. Councilman DiDomenico.
I'm not.
Thank you. I just want to remind everyone that we are doing the Father's Day prayers at the library. Pickup dates are June 7th through the 10th, between 10 and 3. Prayers are a coffee cup, all that bad poster, super bad magnet, Father's Day cards, also included markers, a color pencil, and their stickers. And we're doing the hook-to-line fishing coming on Saturday, June 5th at Lake Worth Park on River Run Avenue, starting at 9 a.m. This is a free event. Everything included, fishing poles, everything for the kids to fish. So bring your kids out and enjoy the fish. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilman Jackson.
Just want to keep mentioning, Representative, I mentioned that a company, a promoter called Janus, which is the they're going to have funds if you have a templated tour. You have to live in Pennsylvania, but you're important to have a good plan. Now, this is some feedback from people who actually approach this, but the storm president, he's hopefully going to be
Thank you. Councilman Cole,
Nothing is over time, Mayor.
Councilwoman Tim.
Yes, Mayor, just a quick back on Linda with the hooked on fishing. We're also going to have prizes, giveaways, a barbecue, and any of the polling stuff you're able to do. For the health report, a couple of things to announce, or several things. Beginning May 27th through December 31st, the state's Auburn residents were fully vaccinated or to receive their first shot by July 4th. So we see the state park back. Pass. It's the same value as the annual state park pass, but this will be a pass that will be free to all 51 parks in the state and forest facilities. The Department of Environmental Protection will provide refunds to residents if you already purchased your annual state park pass and you have proof that you have one dose of your vaccine by July 4th. To register, you have to go to newjersey.gov/vaccandvisit. Camden County is going to start offering the Pfizer vaccine. That's for the youth 12 to 17 years old. You can walk in or make an appointment. Appointment can be made at CamdenCountyVaccine.com or you can call 856-549-0530. For the rest of this week, the site will be open on Thursday and Friday. Appointments are from 8 to 3:30. Next week, starting June 1st, the site will only be open on Wednesday and Thursday. Appointments are available, also, and walk-ins are available. The state has a goal for 70% of adults to be vaccinated by the end of June. Currently, the state's at 56% of fully vaccinated adults, with the youth. Currently, we're at 188,000 youth that have been fully vaccinated. New Jersey is going to be lifting several COVID restrictions starting Friday, May 28th. People who are fully vaccinated. Just to remind you, if you're fully vaccinated, this means that you received your second dose of Moderna or Pfizer, and it's been 2 weeks since you got your shot, or you received Johnson & Johnson, and again, it's 2 weeks later. Anyone who is not vaccinated or the time period of your two doses is not 2 weeks yet. You still have to wear your mask indoors, wear your mask outdoors, and just like your antibodies build up, so you are safe. There are some of the restrictions that they're lifting. The mask mandate at most indoor spaces and social distancing for like restaurants, retail stores, gyms, churches, and other businesses. And bars and restaurants, you no longer have to stay seated at your table while ordering, eating, or drinking. Keep in mind, the state, county, local government, and businesses can choose to require social distance and wear a mask. So if anybody out there is saying that they want to wear a mask in their business, just follow the rules. We're getting so close to the end. Dance floors are going to open. Outdoor venues, such as ballparks, will be permitted to have full crowds. On June 4th, the governor says that all indoor gathering limits will end. The governor also stated that the pandemic has not ended. We are just in a much better place right now to be lifting all these rules and hoping not to step backwards. These rules for the restriction that the living is based on an honor system that you have been fully vaccinated. So it's great news that we're moving forward and we're trying to plan and right to end this pandemic soon, hopefully. But I would just say just do your best judgment. Do what you feel comfortable with. Don't judge anybody if they feel like they still want to wear a mask or if they don't feel comfortable going out into big crowds. I mean, everybody, we all had a different and difficult 14 months, and so people are going to come back into society as they feel comfortable and on their own terms. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
We as a borough will want to decide whether it's true or not, some of the things that we're state motor vehicles, the government, the all state ones, the capital work, still have to run that, some of the other ones. So, some of the other ones. Dr. Barber.
Yes. I have a few things. I'm just the last meeting, I'm going for executive, I have to take care of some of the other ones, the other people. We had a great meeting at the school, finally after almost a year and a half of transition and air transmission, you can't get it to everything, but it will sit down and come to meeting about 7119. And we're looking forward, 192. I think 192, I'm going to do some of that there. 192, September, because of the end of the school year, they've got a lot of things that they've got to look up for, COVID, things like that. We are looking at September to go out, a lot of the things that we need to do for 192. So it was a very good meeting. All the stakeholders were there, and I'm very excited about Dr. O'Neill, and I'm very excited about the channel, and moving it to the rest of the disability. So that was a great meeting. Also, the school. Have a few things going on. Week 18 is a trial from 6:30 to 8. It's also the last day of school for Lindenwald. We have a 6-to-8-week program that they're going to be doing at the lower schools in person. Just to kind of make up for this school year, those that lag behind, and we need that to help in reading and math. There's no cost to the parents, but it's just something to try to bring the child back up to speed and get them ready for the next year. The high school students will be asked to do that online, if necessary. They'll need to be in school, and part of the reason why, and we both kind of surprised that many of our high school students work. They have jobs. So, especially in the summertime. So, they are going to offer that to the students, the high school students online. Our digital newsletters will be going out the first and second week in June, and we'll have all the activities for the summer, all our programming at the library, and everything else you can look at on our website. Oh, yeah, and it's a cost reduction question as well. Tomorrow, May 28th, is a McKinney County food distribution. We'll be at Charles de Palma Public Works Building. From 10 to 12, this is driver service, but I think you can walk it too, if you got a little part or something, you can bring that up as well. So that's tomorrow. Also, the school has a pantry, South Jersey Food Pantry does a thing at the school every Wednesday on the parking lot. That'll be June 2nd, from 2:30 to 4, and it's 5 to 10. So we'll have to go there. So if you know anyone in need of, food or someone with any type of food insecurity, this is a place where they can go. I'm not sure whether Little Bunnies is doing their food stamps at the sea line on Saturday. I don't know if that's for the lady that runs that she made it back to me. Because of the holidays, I'm not sure. So if you talk to me this Saturday, well, this is the Saturday they did it last Saturday, but because of the holiday, I'm not sure. And then the Lindenwald Prom is on June 3rd from 5 to 9.
I just wanted to say, and I'm sure everybody aware, that we are currently open on modified schedule Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 to 1, and Tuesdays and Thursdays closed. But that will change in June, and as soon as a date is determined, we will make an announcement and put it on the website as well as change the digital time. With the governor doing all the lifting of the restrictions, there's no need to continue on a modified basis. We will go back to being open to the public from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. So again, until then, we're just Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 to 1. So if you're able to come in one at a time, you'll just still be required to wear your mask when you enter, get the temperature read, and keep your mask on the whole time that you're here. But also, just so we are aware, and I'm not sure if you all have been in the building, the tax assessor's office is now retrofitted to be like all the other offices that have homeowners. So now we come into the building, we'll be served by the tax assessor's office if we need to on that window. And if for some reason the tax assessor's office has to learn any books out or whatever things, you have to come into meeting. No one will be able to go into the tax assessor's office like they used to prior to the moment.
I'm just trying to give the numbers for this as of today, we're at 21-17. And we see behind the last level, we go up to 15 miles, 9.5 miles, and so on. And now we're at 24. It's 24.5 miles at hand. So, we keep the family in the chairs, and that's all I have. This time I'll open the meeting to the public. Anyone from the public is in the street, please state your name and address for the record, and please remember the sign.
Diane Sanders, 6th Avenue. Mayor, the first one done is we had unit 7, and now it's only 6. It's going to go back to 7, the second property from our people working together. Well, 6, that was the only one that was done. It was only 7.
No.
And my other question is, whenever we are talking on the phone, I don't have our 5 minutes. Why do you allow Mr. Coley to talk to us the way he does? Do that on the phone, but just telling me it's not that your 5 minutes are off. He just totally interrupts us and doesn't even let us talk. Why is that so bad?
Mr. Coley, I can't control the phone with the captain.
But you're the mayor, and he works for you, and you work for us. You pay the bill.
I'm just telling you, the town hall is the mayor. I do not want the town. Council wants the town. It's the only council. The mayor is
the mayor. You should have talked to us the way he does. It's ridiculous if you want the other guy.
This time, you're more than welcome to put down the letter.
Oh, my God. I'd like to talk to other people. I don't think it's fair to be up to the half.
Diane, I just wanted to say one way to the town. You may have remembered that last year the public hearing was held at 7, and the reason it was held at 7 is because it was a typo, and that it didn't change it to 6 because our meetings had changed to 6. Where once you advertise the public hearing, you have to hold it at that
point. Right,
so it was at 7 last year.
Right.
And we made sure this year that we made sure that it was at 6 o'clock when our meeting was 7.
It's really hard when people work together.
And
we want
to build
this
different
kind of
many parties.
Anyone else about
the community? I'm not lost here. With the
vote,
my name is Sarah Beller, 101,
two members of the address, and I
have
101, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, being more accessible to attending the meetings when there is a phone conference element available. When the borough consider continuing that option along with the in-person meetings,
we were given the option to do more
I would like to better understand what makes this community doing so. What is it about their training, their practices, their strategies that they're employing? Can I give you that question?
Yep. So community policing is not so much a tactical strategy, it's a philosophy. The philosophy of the police department is more policing to be top of that. So what community policing is about engagement, reaching out to the public, and find a way to not what officer in the police department is trained specifically for community policing, it's supposed to all be community policing. And the only difference with the police force, so if you put that out there, just to find better ways to, complete that mission, if you always out there to find blanks that interact with the public. So
would you say the police force is one of those strategies?
One of the overall strategies, the overall philosophy. is for community policing. And to find better ways to do that in more ways, we're always looking for different programs, different avenues that we feel about that. And having officers out there replacing them, they're more acceptable. People can walk up to them, they can talk to them, they're not in the car, driving around. So we try to put the officers in different places so we can take advantage of that.
Okay, and that's what it says. Are you getting feedback from the officers that's helping you develop these strategies?
Excuse me one second. See, you have all the time. We've been doing this for about 5 or 6 years now. The police departments are fairly cautious with the individuals and the
police. Well, can I get better language when I ask these questions? Because I think I have...
No, I think you should do your research before you tell me you're going to ask these questions. You should start doing the research and see what's going on in this town.
I don't have...
If you need someone here. These people have been doing this for a lot longer.
So I think the best option would you want to come to you with them?
Yes,
I'm going to call.
Okay.
This is what they're discussing, the testing and all the things that they have coming up, the zoning information. They're still in the process of building this thing. So I've been trying to stay up to date for what's going on. They just started in April, so, you know, we have all, we need to have an on the phone, listening to, you know, like sitting in literature, they have literature around. So we are following the commission and trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen here and what the zoning rules are, the testing, how far can we be from a school. All of these things need to be set up before we start to make decisions.
Is the council, I'm happy to hear that there are some efforts being made towards education.
There have been, we have two people in our schedule. That's why we work. When we talked about it, we said we need to have a work call. We need to have the size of all the people that are going through this first. So we don't want to be the first one to take that. Anyone else in the public wishing to speak?
And if there's any seniors that need a ride, we can contact the county and they can go and pick them up. And just seniors should not be open to the public, if people that can't get to the shops.
What are seniors for?
Well, I'm told that the senior buildings, if there's people in senior buildings and stuff like that, they can't get there, and I can put that flyer over to your building, and if I can see the buildings, they can fly us around, kind of speak to the people.
Anything else for your...